This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is what God's Word says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says this: "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Brief word of prayer. God, as we bow our heads and hearts in your presence, I pray today that you would speak to us and through us. Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Have your will, have your way. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about six things we should give our children. Six things that we should give our children. I love what that scripture says when it says, if you being evil, if you being evil, are you being, if you being sinful, you being a flawed father. And let me hasten to say, every father is flawed. Even the fathers in the Bible, the great men of the Bible, they were all flawed. I mean, think about it. Noah got drunk. Moses was a murderer. David committed adultery. Job went bankrupt. Abraham lied. Isaiah preached naked. I'm not going to do that. But anyway, they all had their flaws, amen? Because every father is flawed. But here's what I want you to see. There is a blessing tied to a child's relationship with its father. There is a blessing tied to that relationship. Because look what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Of the Ten Commandments, the only one there's a promise, a blessing attached to it, is honor your father and mother. Because when you honor your father and mother, the Bible says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee and thou may livest long upon the earth. You said, Pastor, I can't honor their performance. Well, if you can't honor the performance, you honor the position, because they are your father. They are your mother. And the Bible teaches us to honor our father and mother. And let me explain something to you today. You say, well, why would I do that, Pastor Benny? Well, let me make a statement. Statement number one is this. You wouldn't be here without them. That's a deep thought, amen? You wouldn't be here without them. And statement number two, they may not be a perfect dad, but I want to give you a news flash. You're not a perfect child. Because, folks, we're all fallen. We're all flawed because we live in a fallen world. I love the little boy who took a test in school, and the teacher was grading the test, and there were so many mistakes on the test. She took a red pen and highlighting all the mistakes, and she gave him a low score, and she handed it back to the little boy, and she said these words. She says, "I'm amazed that one person could make so many mistakes." He said, "Oh, teacher, One person didn't make so many mistakes. My daddy helped me. My daddy helped me. What should we give our children? When I was 30 years old, I met my biological father for the very first time. And the only thing I know that he ever gave me tangibly was this watch. And now for 30 years, every year on Father's Day, I get my watch out and I wind the watch and I think about my father. But you know, reality is, folks, he gave me far more than this watch because he gave me life. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my father. About 23 years ago, when I was a young man, I went to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I went there to meet a man that I don't know, I'm not friends with, but I spent a day with him. I went to meet the man who started Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson. Dr. James Dobson, my land. What hadn't turned gray's turned loose, amen? But I went to meet and spent the day with Dr. James Dobson there in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I remember what Dr. Dobson said to me. He said, "Pastor Benny, we are so busy today giving our children what we didn't have. We're not giving them what we did have. We're so busy giving our children what we didn't have. We're not giving them what we did have." And I want to take just a few moments today and say to our fathers, I want to talk to you about six things that we ought to give our children. The first thing I want to talk to you about today is this. We ought to labor for them. We ought to labor for them. You know, it's interesting. God created Adam, and the Bible says in Genesis 2:15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and keep it." Now look, God gave the man work. That's in Genesis 2:15. But in Genesis 2:22, look what he did. In Genesis 2:22, he took a rib, and the Lord God had taken from man, and he made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. By the way, folks, if you're single today, that's what you want. You want the Lord to bring you somebody. You want the Lord to bring you somebody. Now get this. He gave him work, and then he gave him a wife. You say, "Well, I'm a single lady, and I'm kind of looking for somebody." Well, look, make sure he's got work before you become his wife, amen? Make sure you get the work right before we get the wife right. Now look, he gave him work, he gave him wife, and then in Genesis 4:2, he gave him two sons. He gave him two sons. But the first thing the Bible says, he was in the garden. He was taking care of his family. My wife said that, Barbara said, she said, "You know, Benny, my dad didn't tell me a lot he loved me. That's something he didn't do." I said, "But you know, Barbara, every morning when he picked up that lunch pail and he went to that coal mine and he went underground and he took that pick and he was picking that coal and he put that coal in a bucket and he came home that night, he was completely black with coal dust." I said, "Let me tell you what he was doing.
He was screaming, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God for the men that each day go to work and cry and scream out to their families, wife, I love you. Children, I love you. Grandchildren, I love you. That's what a good man does. He labors for them.
Folks, I'd never noticed this till this week, but I was reading about the prodigal son. You know, he got his inheritance and he spent it all up with sinful living and he got to the lowest of the low. And the Bible says this about the prodigal son. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Look. And he sent and went into the fields to feed swine. Now look, he got hungry. And he didn't go to a government office. When he got hungry, he went to the fields and he went to work. See, folks, something's wrong when we live in a country that wants to take money from a man who will work and give it to a man who don't work. That just don't make sense. But I'd never noticed this before. But he had two sons, and then I read about that other son. And look what he says. Now the elder son was in the field. You know what that tells me? Not only did this father labor, but he instilled a work ethic in his sons. He said to his son, son, if you want to rise to the top, you got to get off your bottom. He said, sons, if you want your pockets to jingle, you got to shake a leg. God's given us two ends. They have a common link. With one end, you sit. With the other end, you think. Success in life depends upon which end you choose. Heads, you win. Tails, you lose. Amen? I'm saying, folks, what we ought to give our children, we ought to labor for them and we ought to teach them a work ethic that it's okay to get up and go to work and there won't anything work in your life until you do. Now, let me tell you the second thing that we ought to give our children. We ought to love them. We ought to love them unconditionally. Ken Canfield, who's an expert on family relations, he said this. He said only one out of every four fathers in America tell their children, I love you. Only one out of every four fathers say to their children, I love you. I was studying about the relationship with Jesus and his heavenly father in John. In the book of John. And 25 times in the book of John, Jesus referred to God as my Father. My Father. It was a special relationship. And folks, let me say something. There's not been but one perfect Father. And he's sure not in this pulpit. There's not been but one perfect Father. And that was God. And God taught us on two occasions when he spoke directly to his son. Dads, listen to me. I really want to help you. Not that you're learning from me. You're learning from God. Two times he spoke directly to his son. At his son's baptism and at the transfiguration. And I want you to see what he said to his son. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And the voice, it was the voice of God, came out of the cloud. What did God say to his son? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Let me tell you what every child needs. Every child needs to know they belong. This is my beloved son. Every child needs to know they belong. When I was growing up, I was raised by a stepfather. And when he would introduce us, he would say, "This is my son. This is my daughter." And then he would get to me and he would say, "This is my stepson. This is my stepson." And I never felt like I belonged. Let me tell you something. The data from psychology validates what I'm saying. The greatest thing you can do to combat peer pressure in the life of your child is to let them know they belong at home. To let them know you belong at home. See, every child needs to know you belong. You're a part of us. Not only belonged, but beloved. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved son. Now, other people could hear this, but the Heavenly Father wanted them to hear that he loved his son. It's powerful when we let our children know they belong. They're beloved. But number three, we need to let them know they're better. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, look what it says. Hear him. What was he saying? I believe in him. I'm proud of him. And you need to hear him. Ladies and gentlemen, when you say to your child, "I'm proud of you. I believe in you." It matters not if they're small. It matters not if they're an adult. It's powerful. What do we need to give our children? We need to labor for them. We need to love them. But there's a third thing we need to do. We need to limit them. We need to limit them. In 1 Samuel 3:13, God said to Eli, the priest, he said, "Eli, there's judgment on your house. And the reason why there's judgment on your house, Eli, you know what your sons are doing, but you won't restrain your sons. You won't discipline your sons. And because you won't discipline your sons, there's judgment upon your house." There's a third thing that we ought to do as fathers. We ought to limit them. The great preacher Billy Graham said, when Franklin was real small, he spit on his daddy. And Billy Graham said, "I'm not going to tell you what I did to him. But," he said, "I am going to tell you, if when he grows up, if he chews tobacco, he'll swallow the juice." The Duke of Windsor said this. He said, "What amazes me most about America is how parents obey their children. What amazes me most about America is how parents obey their children." Sometimes parents will say to me, "We don't discipline our children." By the way, don't ever say that again. You don't have to. It's obvious. It's obvious. But when you say, "I don't discipline my children," I want to give you a news flash. You're saying, "I'm a better parent than God. I'm a better parent than God." Because I want you to understand, God disciplines his children. God disciplines his children. One day I was standing out here. The young lady was in the last service. She was bringing her three boys into school. And one of them got out of line. And I saw her. And she wore him out. And I saw her doing it. And I said, "Come here." And she said, when Pastor Benny did that, my heart fell to my feet. And she came to me, and I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, I just want to say thank you. I just want to commend you that we still got some people that have got enough common sense to do what the Word of God teaches us to do, and that sets some limits for our children. Now, hear me closely. According to Hebrews chapter 12, when you discipline your children, it shows your children three things. Number one, it shows a child you love them. Look what God's word says. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. All I've got to say is he must love me. The enemy will say to you, if you discipline that child won't love you. But the Bible teaches right the opposite. The Bible teaches if you discipline that child will love you. If you discipline that child will love you. Number two, it teaches a child to respect. And certainly we could use that in our land. Look what God's word says. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Look, they corrected us. And we gave them reverence. When you discipline a child, it teaches that child respect. It teaches that child authority. Because they're going to be authority the rest of their lives. Third of all, it teaches a child to do what's right. It teaches a child to do what's right. Look what it says. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, folks, we're going to labor. We're going to labor. We're going to love them. We're going to limit them. Then a fourth thing, we're going to laugh and loaf with them. We're going to laugh and loaf with them. Somebody said the father who goes hunting with his boys will never have to go hunting for his boys. Max Licato said the best piece of advice he was given on fathering was, Mac, as you're driving home, change hats every day. And Mac said, what do you mean? He said, well, take your work hat off and put on your father hat and go home and spend time with your wife and your children and learn wasting time is not necessarily wasted time. And learn you've got to laugh and loaf with them. And learn that sometimes children need more strokes than they do pokes. One little boy said, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful. I remember about a year ago, I went to Branson, Missouri. I was going to do this TV interview on the Jim Baker Show. And before the interview, they had me back in this green room. And Jim Baker said to me, he said, Preacher, I don't know if you know it, but he said, I spent 4.5 years in prison. He said, I deserved it. I should have got more time. I spent 4.5 years in prison. He said, my job there was cleaning commodes, Preacher. And he said, one day while I was in prison, he said, my boy Jamie came to see me. He said, I had my orange outfit on. I'd been cleaning the commodes. We spent the day together. And I said, Jamie, I'm so sad you have to see me like this. He looked at me and he said, Daddy, today's the greatest day of my life. He said, the greatest day of your life. Why would it be the greatest day of your life? He said, Daddy, all I've ever wanted my entire life was to spend an entire day with you. And then Jim Baker said to me, Preacher, don't let it take going to prison to spend an entire day with your child. Learn to laugh with them. Learn to loaf with them. He's come to give us everlasting life and everlasting life. Amen? Let me tell you the fifth thing. Give them lessons in finance. Give them lessons in finance. See, when the Bible was written, folks, it wasn't divided up into chapters and verses. It wasn't separated. So Proverbs 22 and 6, look what it says. Train up a child in the way that child should go. What does that mean, Pastor? It means train up that child in the way that child is bent. You say, well, I was real athletic and this child is really into arts and I was a great athlete. Pastor Benny, what do you think about that? Well, first of all, he wasn't as great as he says he was. And second of all, you got to train a child in the way that child was bent. That child may be bent toward academics. That child may be bent toward art. You got to look at the bent of that child. Train up a child in the way that child is bent. Now, here's something else I want you to see. Train up a child in the way that child should go. You say, well, I'm going to tell you something. That child's my life. No. No, Dad, listen to me closely. That child wasn't meant to stay. If they're 30 years old and they're still there, that's an indication of a deeper problem. I'm not your man. Look, train up a child in the way they should go. They weren't meant to stay. They were meant to go. There's a story there. But anyway, but see, it was all together. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Look what he says. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant unto the lender. In training your children, one of the first things you should do is train your children about finances. See, there's 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There's 500 verses in the Bible on faith. But 2,300 verses in the Bible on finances. You've got to train your child on finances. One little boy got his phone and he texted his dad. Here's what he said to his dad. No mon, no fun, your son. And his dad texted him back. Too bad, too sad, your dad. Let me tell you the last thing and I'm done. Lift them up to the Heavenly Father. Lift them up to the Heavenly Father. When we dedicated our daughter, there was no preacher that had prayed for us that we'd be able to have a child. His name was Dr. Ed Ballou. He was an old Indian. Big old man. And I said, Dr. Ed, I want you to come and dedicate her. He said, okay. Ed was a big man, had big hands. I believe Ed Ballou's finger was that long. And I was sitting on the front row. And this big man, Ed Ballou, looked down at me and he said, Benny boy, don't you just pray for this child. You pray with this child. He said, you pray with this child. And folks, I believe this. I believe I felt the tip of his finger on my nose. He said, you pray with this child. And I started doing that. And there's something I would pray with that child every time I prayed with her. I would pray Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through verse 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's the spiritual, physical, social, and mental growth of that child. I would pray, Lord, make your face to shine upon me. That's God's presence in that child's life. I would pray, lift your countenance upon her and give her your peace. That's God's approval and God's protection. Folks, if we read Hebrews chapter 11, boy, it's the giants of the faith. Whew. Enoch is there. Think about this, folks. Enoch got to walk in so close with God. God one day said to Enoch, it's closer to my house. I'm sorry. It's closer to my house than it is yours. Just going into heaven with me. Just walked into heaven. I mean, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, men like Abraham are in that chapter. Abraham, the father of the Jews. Noah's in that chapter. Man, that is the heroes of the faith. But I read it close one time, and I noticed something. Jacob and Isaac are also in the chapter. And I thought, God, how did they get in that chapter? And all they did is they blessed their children. Whew. God said, you want to be a hero? Just pray for your children. Dad, you want to be a hero? Pray with them. And if the time comes that you can't pray with them, pray for them. Billy Graham said a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed. Unsung, unpraised, and unnoticed. But he said, yet they're one of the most valuable assets in our society. A little old four-year-old boy said this. He said, my daddy can do anything. And when he was 5 years old, he said, my daddy can do a whole lot. When he was 6 years old, he said, my daddy's smarter than your daddy. When he was 8 years old, he said, my dad can beat up your dad. When he got 10 years old, he said, well, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things were different. When he got 12, he said, well, oh, naturally, my dad doesn't know anything about that. He's old. He's too old to remember his childhood. When he was 14, he said, don't pay any attention to my dad. He's just too old-fashioned. He got 21 years old, and he said, my dad's hopelessly out of date. When he was 25, he said, Dad knows a little about it, but he should. He's been around so long. Then he got 30 years old, and he said, maybe we should ask Dad what he thinks. He's got a lot of experience. And when he got 35, he said, I'm not doing a single thing until I talk to my daddy. And when he got 40, he said, I wonder how Dad would have handled it. He was so wise and had a world of experience. And then he reached 50. And he said, I'd give anything if my daddy was here so I could just talk it over with him. one more time. Dads, I didn't come today to beat anybody up. I came today to say I love you. I came today to say I appreciate you. I came to say today, many times you are unnoticed. You are unpraised. You're not appreciated like you should. But I just came today to say to every dad, we love you. We appreciate you. We need you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.